Could open your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 5. Heard a story one time of a pastor that was very ill, and he was up in his late 80s and he was going to pass away, and he told his wife, he said, if you could, he said, get two men for me. I want them to be by my side. They're in my last hours here. And they said, she said, okay. And two men came and they met each other in the driveway and they said, you know, we don't understand this. We're glad to be here. We don't understand. But, you know, the pastor always kind of shunned us. He just kind of really didn't like us too much. And we don't understand why he wants us here. And they got in the room and they began talking. And the one man was a banker and the other one was a lawyer. And they began talking and they was happy. They walked in the room and the pastor got a smile on his face. And he was sitting there and all of a sudden they said, Pastor, why did you ask us to come? Said, well, Jesus died with two thieves on his side, and I thought I'd do the same. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 25, if we could stand for the reading of God's word.
That's my boy.
And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many times of many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I can't do what I'm about to do, Lord, without your help. Holy Spirit, Lord, my prayer always, I don't want to waste anybody's time. God, I want to be a blessing to the people tonight. Holy Spirit, I'm not smart enough, Lord, I'm not intelligent enough, Lord, to preach your word. Lord, nor am I worthy. Nor am I worthy to stand behind this pulpit. Father, Lord, I want to be a blessing to the people tonight. And Holy Spirit, I want to do your will. Father, I pray you'd clear my mind of anything that would not, should not be in it. Lord, any sin that I've committed that I don't know, Lord, I pray you'd forgive me for it. God, I pray as I preach tonight that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you'd just help me to be a blessing to thy people. In thy heavenly name we pray. Amen. The title of my sermon tonight is Believing is Easy When It's Easy to Believe. This woman here, you know the story. I mean, a fly on the side of the church wall knows this story as well as anybody else. But it's a familiar story in the scriptures. But it has so many different meanings to it and so many different truths and messages that could come out of it. But you know, we know the story of the woman. She had an issue of blood for 12 years and she paid all she had. She paid all of her money out to the world. You know, the world's not going to fix the problem, nor can the world fix the problem. I get a big kick and thrill out of how many Christian people, when you walk into their homes, have the Oprah Winfrey Book of the Month Club. You know, Oprah's not going to fix your problems. You know, Dr. Phil is not going to fix your problems. the one that we all attack, Joel Osteen, the reason why people go to him is because he seems like he's going to fix all the problems. But the reason why it seems like he's going to fix all their problems is because he never says anything that they're doing bad. So it makes them feel good about themselves. But they're going to the world for help. And, you know, there's not any help in the world. No help can be found. You know, preacher can tell this as good as anybody else. But right before I moved here, I was having some health issues and some things that was kind of scary and serious going on. And I paid $5,000 or $6,000 out of my own pocket over a series of time to try to fix these problems. You know, they could never help. And you know, I never thought about it, but finally toward the end, right before I moved here, I said, Dad, could you get the men together in a private meeting, just pray over me, and maybe God can fix those problems. But you know, we want to run to the world to try to fix them first. And I taught a message similar to this to the college and career, but I couldn't get it out of my heart. And you know, we run to the world to try to fix the problems because it's easy. It's easier that way. It's easier if we don't have to labor to try to fix the problem. But you know, the answer is always very, very easy, and it's very, very focused to get it. And our answer lies right in here, but that's a little bit too hard for us to pick up the Bible. It's a little bit, you know, at the beginning of the year, it was gung-ho, as Pastor Dave was talking this morning. The Bible reading schedules came out, and we had the Bible reading schedules, and all the preachers was preaching about it, and we're excited, and then it seemed easy. Yahoo, it was easy to read the Bible through at that time. It was easy to read it, but you know, now we're toward the end of February, and reading 4 and 5 chapters a day, you know, is getting a little taxing, and it's taking up a little bit of the time, and the problems, any problems you have is evident and easy to there, but for some reason it becomes hard to us. And I told this to the college and career class, and we was talking about it the other night. You know, the Turner family, it seems easy to rush to Grandpa to ask him to pray because Grandpa keeps a close attention to God's ear.
Yes.
And it's easier for us to go to him and say, Grandpa, would you pray for this, than it is easier for us to get close to God and pray for it on our own. You know, it's easier for us to go to the pastor or the associate pastor and ask them to pray for it than it is to get down on our knees and pray for us to own. On our own. But this woman here, she went to all the physicians and she didn't have any answers. She didn't have nothing was fixed. But she heard of this one called Jesus. And in verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She heard of this one called Jesus. She knew the only thing she had to do was grab hold of the garment. No, it wasn't the garment that day that healed her. It was because she had faith in the one that was wearing that garment that day that could heal her. She probably had heard, I'm sure she heard of the miracles that Jesus had done. She'd heard of the blind being healed and the lame being made whole and the lepers being cleansed. She heard of that, and she was so convinced that all she had to do is grab hold of the garment that day. You know, I was out to church property, and I threw a fit of myself out of this because it's so simple and it's so elementary, but so many times we walk past the truth. You know, it wasn't an optometrist that day that healed the blind. It wasn't a dermatologist that healed the leper. It wasn't a rheumatologist that healed the lame. It wasn't because the disciples had bread and food for 5,000 people up their robes that made the feeding of the 5,000. It was because she knew if she put her trust, she knew if she put everything she had into grabbing the hem of that garment that day, that she would be made whole. How many times do we trust that much in him, though? We know he can, but we don't know if he will. We don't have that faith. We know the verse very, very well. If we put the faith of the grain of the seed of a mustard seed, we can move a mountain. But why don't we ever have that faith? You know, after she was made whole here, after her ailments was gone, it was pretty easy for her, I'm sure, to believe in Jesus Christ. It was pretty easy to see the power that was there that day. But my question is, 6 months down the road, how did she still feel? Bear with me as I tell some stories here to illustrate my point. And you've heard this story from him before, and you've heard it from me before, but on November the 5th of 1998, my grandparents, my mom's parents, came and picked me up from school, and I once sat in the car, and I was 8 years old, and she was on her knees facing the back seat, and she had this strange look on her face that I had never seen before. And I said, what's wrong? And she said, your dad's been taken to the hospital in an ambulance. They took us to the hospital, and at that time they wouldn't let us go back and see him because he was chained to a bed, because he was in a coma and he was fighting him, and he was in a coma. You know, preacher came out and prayed with him, and he prayed with us and sat with us in that room that day and assured us that Jesus could heal him. Oh, but I wasn't quite sure even at 8 years old if he would. I knew he could, but I didn't know if he would. I didn't have that faith in him that I should have. No, I didn't have that faith that at 8 years old I sat there thinking, God, why are you doing this? They got the nurses together and the people together that would help console you in the time of death because they said he wasn't going to make it through the night. Finally, they let us walk into that room and he was hooked up to all kinds of things, and my grandpa Turner was sitting in the corner of the room, and they finally let him off the things, and he was laying there saying he wasn't going to make it through the night. And I said, God, why? God, I know you can, but it doesn't seem like you're going to do it. No, but finally, Finally, the family got together, and my mom took my sister and I in a room, and she said, I don't know what's going to happen, but we're just going to have to trust in God. The next morning, we went to bed, and the best we could, and the next morning, we got up, and he woke up. And they asked him, they said, Mr. Turner, do you know where you're at? He said, I'm in the hospital. And they said, do you know what day it is? And he said, no. And they said, do you know what year it is? And he said, 1998. And they said, do you know who the president is? He said, Bill Clinton. He said, are you happy about that? And he said, no. And the doctor said, you're going to be just fine. When I was up in college, I spent a semester up in Michigan at a college, and then I finished the rest at the institute that Dad had started at the church. But in that semester I was up there, God tried my faith quite a few times. And the whole time I knew he could, but I wasn't so sure if he would. And I knew he could, but I didn't have that extra faith as he would. And there I was working at Kmart, and I hated it. And I was trying to do my best to pay my college tuition and pay everything. And there was this one point, no more money. All the money was gone. And I said, God, I've heard of the stories of Dean Miller had just preached up at chapel. And he told the story that they didn't have any money and they didn't have any food. And he went to work and just trusted God. And his wife called him and said that someone dropped so many groceries off on the porch they couldn't get in. And he heard all these stories, and, you know, it was fine for him. It was fine that, you know, that could happen just fine for him, but you know what? God's not going to do that for me. And, you know, finally, there was a little lake there, and I went to the lake, and I got down beside the lake, and I said, God, I know you can, but I'm not so sure that you will. God, I'm just going to trust everything within me that you're going to fix it. We had mail slots at the college, and I said, I checked the mail slot I don't know how many times that day, and there was nothing in it. And I said, God, I don't know how you're going to do this, but you're going to have to do something. I went to the mail slot. I got my key, opened up the thing. There was one envelope in there from somebody that I wasn't quite so sure who it was. I pulled it out, and there was $150 in it. No, I wasn't so sure that he would, but he could. I knew he could, but I wasn't quite so sure if he would. And you know, and God never quite seems to come through with me, and this is in my own life, until finally I said, okay, God, I know you can. How many times in our Christian life, and this is just a very simple message, and I always think it's stupid, but it's so burning within my heart, Bethel Baptist Church, if we want to go forward for Christ, we got to know that he will. Yes. It's easy right now to see that God can work in a miracle, because we have it right here. It's easy to see that. But at the time of the point of leading up to that point, and the time things were scary in my own life, I knew he could, but I wasn't so sure what was going to happen. And I sat beside of his bedside that day when we was anointing him with oil, and I read him the scriptures about anointing with oil, and he was laying there, and I knew he could, and I said, God, I want you to, but I wasn't quite so sure what was going to happen. And then there was the time that he came coming down the aisle in the wheelchair, and I said, God, what's wrong with me? I know you can. All the stories in the Bible from the parting of the sea to delivering the three Hebrew children from the fiery furnace and Daniel from the lion's den and all the miracles in the Bible, I know he can, but what's wrong with our faith to know that he will? And so many times things will happen and you're scared and you know he can, but we never give him complete trust. When I moved in this isn't a serious matter, but it was serious for me when it came to we found that God's will that I was going to move back here. I was scratching my head, confused why God would move me for 6 years to Lima to move me back, and I was still living at home, and I was scared what was going to happen. I was scared for to finding a house and everything, and I knew God could make it work, and I knew God could find a job, and I put in all kinds of applications, and nothing was happening. And all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, I had a job. And that job went to come to an end, and I was scared, and they was laying me off, and because things was getting slow, and my last day in that job was on a Thursday, and I started the next job on Monday morning. And you know, I was scared to death, like, God, what are you going to do here? I'm trying to trust you. I moved here because it was your will. Things was going good for me in Lima. Things was going great. I had a good job. I just got the promotion that I wanted, and you saw it fit to move me here. And God, what are you going to do about it? I knew he could, but I wasn't so sure that he would. But, you know, every once in a while, it's like God says to you, and I don't think God says this, but it seems like it says to me, stupid, just listen, and I'll take care of it. But so many times I don't want to. I want the easy fix. I want to try to fix it. And the message I taught to the teens was, I start scheming on how I'm going to fix it.
Yes.
I start scheming that, you know, God, I don't like your timing. I don't like what you're doing. And I'll do it myself. But it never gets you anywhere. And I don't know why we try to keep doing it. But so many Christians, we have the answer. The world don't have the answer. But we do. I don't, and I say this, I was talking to Brother Sean about this the other day on the bus. I don't know how people make it without a church family.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how people make it with God. And you got people on the outside of the world that's going through their life. I understand it's not godly, but they're making it through life. But we can make it so much better through life because we have the Lord, we have the Bible, we have the answers. But for some reason, we still keep trying to turn to the world. We know he can, but we're not quite so sure if he will. You know, believing is easy when it's easy to believe. It's easy to believe right in the middle of the miracle. It's easy to believe then, but so many times when we start getting away from that miracle, things start becoming dim again. Things start becoming to darken, and then we're still in the same place again. God, what's going to happen? God, what's going to happen? I don't think I can make it through this. This is a little change of gears, but I want to say this. For a long time, God called me to finally preach on September 18th of 2007. I was 17. I wasn't so sure that I could do it. I didn't want to do it, actually, because Dad was a preacher, and I didn't want people to think that I was surrendering to preach just because that I was riding on his coattails through. But when I was 12 years old, I wrote him a letter that said I thought God was calling me to preach, but I wasn't so sure about it. And I fought it, and I fought it, and fought it, and I wasn't quite so sure what God was going to make of it. I know he could use me, but I wasn't so sure that he would. I wasn't so sure that he could make something out of me. I wasn't quite so sure I could stand in front of people and be a blessing to them and minister to them and help them out. I want to say, young people, as you're going to go to Kentucky next week, don't think you can't do it. I know I'm not the prime example and the shining example of someone that God got a hold of and has a burning desire for Christ, but you can do it. Whatever God wants you to do, do it. And that day, I was sitting in the back in the sound room, and I say, God, I can't do this. I don't know what you're going to do. And I know I've told you this story before, but anybody in here tonight that God's calling you to do something, do it. Quit holding on to it. And I don't know why I'm saying this unless there's somebody in here tonight that needs to do something. But if God wants you to do something, go ahead and do it. And I was sitting back there in that pew or in that sound room, and I was holding on to the wall of that sound room. I said, God, there's no way in the world that I can do this. You're going to have to go find somebody else. I don't want to be seen as riding on the coattails of my dad. You can find somebody else. I knew he could use me, but I wasn't sure that he would, because I knew he could use the alcoholic, and I knew that he could use the drug addict. And those people seemed to have the fabulous testimonies that God called him out of something, called him into something. And I was viewing myself as, I grew up here. I was 4 months old when he became pastor here. This is all I've ever known. I didn't want to be viewed as one of those people that would just ride on the coattails, because it's all I knew. And I was sitting there, and the stinking preacher preached an hour and a half sermon that night. He was a guest preacher. I was sitting there, and I was arguing with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit seemed to have me in a neck lock, and I couldn't breathe. And I said, God, I don't want to. And then finally, I said, okay, I'll go. And God gave me a little bit of relief. Invitations came, and the organ started playing. I said, I'll just go pray about it. And it was, again, I couldn't breathe, and things were starting to get dizzy. And the next thing I knew, I was walking down the side aisle. And the next thing I knew, I was at the altar. And tears were running down my face, and Dad came down. And I went to the altar and prayed quite often, but for some reason that time, Dad came down, and I think he knew. He said, son, why are you here? And I just looked at him, and I didn't have to say a word. And I've never seen somebody throw a fit like that in their life. An open door at that time, didn't get too excited about much of nothing, but people were screaming and hooping and hollering, and I was scared to death. It seemed like it was Pentecostal for a minute. But you know, I knew God could, but I wasn't so sure that He would. And 5 years later, I never dreamed I'd step behind the pulpit of Bethel Baptist Church. I never dreamed that I would get to preach to a college kids and that lives would be changed. And I'm not saying I'm a great preacher, but I have got to see God do some great things in my 5 years of just preaching, which is not great. I'm not a great preacher, but young people, if God wants to do something with your life, don't think He can't do it. Don't think He can't make something. If you something you got to do, go ahead and do it. An adult, do the same thing. How great was it to hear all the stories of Brother Morrison when he was here? And you know, we sit there and think, and Taylor and I sat there and thought too, because things with my job was a little shaky right now. And when we thought about our Faith Promise missions, it was like, God, I don't know what You're going to do with this, but I know He can, but you know, sometimes you're not sure that He would. And then you hear a great story like that. Then you hear a great story about Pastor Dave and how God's providing already. But you know, we get all excited when things like that happen, and it's great, and we want to give the testimonies, but 6 months later, how do we still feel about it? 6 months later, are we so sure what's going to happen? You know, I know people preach about this and say stuff about it, and it might seem like I know that's the only thing I know what to talk about, but 10 years ago, we bought a piece of property. And it was exciting, and it was great, and it was fabulous, and we was excited, and we raised the money for the property like that. But now it seems that our excitement level comes up and down and up and down. And sometimes in our minds, I think some of us not so sure what God's going to do. I don't mean to make anybody mad tonight. There might be all whatever 90, 100 people in here tonight might be gung-ho for it. I'm not going to make you mad tonight, but you know, 10 years ago, it was kind of easy to see that God might was going to do something. 10 years later, the doubt might be a little bit there what God's going to do. You know, I was out there today, and I like to go out there before I was preaching, and I prayed for the message, and I wasn't quite so sure which direction it was going to go, and I was nervous and upset about it, and I started walking across the field. And I seen that spot where the men got down last summer and started praying that God would do something. And how the burning desire was in our souls right then. And how the burning desire was in our hearts for God to do something at 8300 Infirmary Road. Yes. But when's the last time that you've gone out there and prayed? When's the last time that your heart became on fire for God? We know He can, but the doubt is in our minds if He will. But I'm telling you tonight that He can and He will, but He's looking for us to fully, as that woman that day knew that was her last resort. The only thing she could do was grab hold of Jesus' garments that day. God's looking for us to do the same thing, that we're 100% convinced that if we grab a hold of Jesus' garment, that God was going to do something.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
God will do it, but where's our faith at? You say, I believe God can. But do you believe God will? Do we believe that God's going to do something? Do we believe that building's going to go up? We sure believe that God could do the miracle when He did it with our pastor. A side note, I don't know where I'd be without him. February of 1991, he called my dad. My family was almost out of church. The things that went on here at Bethel at that time, and before he came, and my family's on the verge of dropping out of church. Dr. Jim Delishment was in a revival, and he called my daddy on a Friday night, said, Brother Bill, I'd just like to call and invite you to church. We've not missed a service since. I don't know where I'd be without him. I don't know where I'd be if he wanted to start at that institute where my dad could have got to go through it. I don't know where I'd be tonight without the 22 years that he's been the pastor here in the 22 years that I've called him my preacher. Even in the 6 years we was in Lima, he was always preacher. He was always my preacher to me. My dad was my pastor. I don't know where I'd be without him. And I thank God that God did the miracle with him. But I'm trying to say tonight, just as much as God did the miracle with him, God can do the miracle for our property. Just as much as God did the miracle for him, the problems that you have in your life, God can do it too. Too many times we put the thing, at least in my eyes, I do, on a preacher. God can only do it for a preacher. God can only do it for a pastor. we put the stipulations, you know, we're not close enough for God to do something for us.
Yeah.
God can do something for you just as much as he can for him.
That's right.
My dad wasn't a preacher at the time that he, that was November of 98 and February 28th of 99, Bruce Cummins was preaching and we stepped out of that pew there and Dad got up, Mom got up, and I was sitting on the end right where Pastor Myers was sitting, and I was sitting there, and he and Mom grabbed my hand, and I knew what was going on, and I didn't like it. And I cried, and I cried, and I cried, and then I had to do it again by myself on September 18th of 2007, and I wasn't quite so sure what was going on, but I knew he could, but I wasn't so sure that he would. You know, someone told my dad that he couldn't build a church in this modern age that we live in the way he preached. We had 43 people on January 31st of 2005. Last week they had over 180. And it wasn't because the church was big and went small. The church was only 5 years old. And he told them that he couldn't do it. And on our one and on our 10th anniversary, on the 10th anniversary of the church, which was his 5th anniversary of being pastor there, the church had 227 some people in it. We were sitting there, and the song service came, and I went running to him, and I said, "Well, whoever that was, I know pride and arrogancy is the evil way, but I feel a little bit prideful right now because the old-fashioned way still works. Preaching against sin still works. The King James Bible still works. Old-fashioned music still works. But, you know, I knew he could do that, and he did do that." My question tonight, do you think God can fill this building here before we get out to 8300 and Fermi Road? I was dead sure that he could, but, you know, I know there's a factor and this is a different message tonight, but just bear with me. I just want to try to get us all thinking about something. There's the factor that they say that you can't fill a building past 70%. We have a parking issue here. That's why we're going to build a building. Our Christian school is cramped in here. That's why we need to build a building. The Sunday school space is cramped. When's the last time that you really earnestly, and I've said this, I think, about every time I preached, when's the last time you really earnestly got a hold of God? You know, it was great when we got a hold of God for preacher, and we all keep using that illustration, but it's something that's very real to us. We got a hold of God for him. You know, not... And I agree with Pastor Dave, revival is in the mix, revival is starting to burn. You don't see services that happened last week in the ordinary church.
Yes. Right.
You don't see people getting forward with weeping eyes and coming to an altar, not for show, but because they had a burden for something. You don't see that happening. But does that same burning go on when you're not sitting in these pews? Does that same burning go on throughout the week when you're reading your Bible on your own? Does that same burning go on when a man of God's not behind the pulpit? Does that same burning go on when there's not a collective amount of people? Two or three gathered in his name, there he is in the midst, what was said this morning. But does that go on privately with you? Do you ever get that burning desire to see God do a miracle? We know he can, but we're not so sure that he will. And here it comes, revival. So many people doubt that revival is going to happen. So many people don't want to put forth the effort for revival. But I'm here to say tonight that it can happen just because it's not 1935 when Billy Sunday passed away and all the revivals that happened for him. Just because all the men are off the scene that from yesteryear are off the scene doesn't mean it can't happen. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday and today forever. It can happen. I am the Lord thy God. I change not. God's not changed from what he was. God's not going to ever change. God's not changed how he felt about the Bible. God's not changed how he felt about sin. God's not changed how he felt about souls. God's not changed about how he thinks about anything. And God wants you to seriously get a hold of him tonight. God's not just going to send revival because it's just on a whim. God's not going to send a revival because his people's not serious about what's going on. 2 Chronicles 7:14 has been quoted backwards, forwards, upside down, and every other way in this auditorium because God's people need to get humble. God's people need to get on their face and seek him. God's people need to do something. And you say, we're doing great, we're doing good, our preacher's back, things are going forward, but it's not good enough. The world is dying and going to hell, and we're not serious enough. The world is dying and going to hell, and we just push them away to go do their own thing, and we have the truth, and we're not taking it to them.
Amen.
He can. And he will, if we want him to.
Yes.
It's not going to happen until we want him to. It's not going to happen until we're going the right direction. And I'm not slapping anybody in the face. This is just for me as it is for you. We're going the right direction. Things are going good. We're all reading our Bible. Be at least.
Amen.
All should be reading our Bible.
Amen.
I hate to become before Jesus Christ and never read the book that he written for us.
Yes.
All the way through.
Yes.
We should be reading our Bible. Things are going good. The church held its own for 3 months. That's unheard of.
Yes.
Things are going great. The buses are doing good. Things are going forward. But don't get complacent with the miracle that God did. Don't ride on the coattails of that miracle.
Yes.
Don't ride on the coattail that things are going good. Don't ride on the coattail, well, we'll leave somebody else to do it. Too many people, I believe, sit in a pew in a church that's going forward for Christ, and they don't have a clue on what's going on. They don't have a clue why people is getting excited. They don't have a clue why the preacher gets up and screams and shouts. They don't have a clue when someone's singing a song and preacher does his well glory thing. They don't have a clue why that's going on. They hide behind the mask, the mask of Christianity. They hide behind the mask. They don't want to do the things that they should be doing. They don't want to give up sin. They don't want to let hold on the things that's going on because they just want to sit and blend in. They just want to be the chameleon. You know, if Bethel Baptist Church is going to go forward any more than it is, and I believe this 100% fully, and you can disagree with it, and that's fine, and I won't argue with you, but it's going to take every single person sitting in here tonight to get down on their knees, to stay down on their knees for a little while, not get up until we've seen God, not get up until something starts happening. And I've told this story before, but it works right here. Dr. Heil said his ministry never changed. He spent 3 days on his dad's grave after his dad died and went to hell. He witnessed to him for years. His dad said, "I'll get saved in the spring." And he died December 31st of, I think, 1950. 3 days he spent on his grave. He said when he got up, he was a different man. So when he got up, something was changed. The same sermons that he used to preach, he preached them again. And instead of a couple people getting saved, dozens of people was walking the aisles and getting saved. His church went from 44 to 4,000 in 7 years. That was without the aid of a bus ministry or anything like that. That was people walking in. But that was before a lot of churches did things like that. No, but are we dedicated enough to try to get a hold of God to that degree? Are we dedicated enough to go on a fast? Are we dedicated enough to be in our scriptures like we should? Are we dedicated enough to go forward? And I know I harp on revival a lot. I'm not trying to boast myself up tonight, but you got a 22-year-old young man that wants to see something happen tonight. And there's a lot of preachers of yesteryear that's died and gone off the scene. And then the preachers that we have today, they don't give a cut and pick and flip about what's going on. They don't care what's going on. They're content with what's going on, and I want to see something happen. I don't want to get before God someday and say he didn't do the best he could. I don't want to get before God someday and say, "You knew you had something in your heart, you had a fire in your heart, but you kept it in. And tonight, I don't care what you think about me. I don't care what you think about my preaching, but God wants to do something one more time, and I believe that too. And I want it to be the church I'm in. I don't want the rapture to happen whenever it happens. Say, Bethel Baptist Church, you could have. Bethel Baptist Church, it was possible. Bethel Baptist Church, I would have did it for you and I wanted to do it for you. But you gave out on me. I don't want to get before God that happened. You might not like the way I preach and you might not like the way I say things and I might stutter and I might stammer. I might not have my message in acronyms and three-point lines and everything like that, but I don't care. Because there's just something in my heart. I know he can, and I know he will.
Amen.
But one person can start it. But it's going to take a whole bunch of people to keep going forward. It's going to take a whole bunch of people that's serious. It's going to take a whole bunch of people that's dedicated. It's going to take a whole bunch of people that's concerned for their country. It's easy to believe when the believing's easy. It's easy to believe right now that God can do it. Let's not get 6 months. Let's not get a year. Let's not get 2 years or 5 years from now wondering what God's going to do, because we forgot about what God did. The realness of God's miracle and bringing our preacher back to us would have died probably off at that time, because we become callous to what God does for us. You say, I'll never forget. We do. God does little miracles for us all the time, and we don't even give him credit for it. You know, the $150 coming in the mailbox that day, you know, that was a coincidence. You know, the dad getting up from the hospital bed that day, you know, Robinson Memorial Hospital gets the credit for that. My hind leg, would they ever get the credit for doing that? But things become callous to us. You know, we forget the little miracles that God does for us every day. We forget that God takes care of us. We forget that the blessings that God does for us, that we can live every day. You know, we forget that God saved our sins. We forget that from our sins. We forget that he died upon the cross. We forget the blessings and the miracles that God does for us every day. And I'll say this, and I'm done. Why do I know that? It's very simple. Nothing's profound that I ever say, because I'm not smart enough for that. But if we wasn't getting calloused to that, we'd be a lot more excited that we're saved. If we're not callous to the miracles that God does for us, our record of souls that we've led to Jesus Christ would be a lot longer. And I'm as much as fault, and I'm done. I'm as much as fault for this as anyone else, and probably more. No, when's the last time that we've actually led someone to Christ? When's the last time you actually even tried? No, I'm not one of those people that think, and it's been spoken from this pulpit before, that every time you go out, you know, that you have to lead someone to Christ, you're a bad soul winner. I heard a story of a lady went out 6 years. Every Thursday and every Saturday she went with her church, soul wind, every Thursday and Saturday for 6 years, and never led anybody to Christ. I don't believe that she was wrong for that. She tried. She attempted to. No, and finally one day, she about ready to give up, and she told God she didn't understand, and God let her lead one to Christ. But I don't think she was wrong for that. But when's the last time you've tried? When's the last time you passed out a tract? When's the last time you told somebody that Bethel Baptist Church was still down on 745 North Freedom Street, still preaching the gospel of Christ? When's the last time that you've spoken about God at your workplace? When's the last time that people knew that you was actually a Christian by the way that you acted and the way that you walked? You know, God can, and God will. Where is our faith that he's gonna?
Yes.
Where is our faith that God's gonna perform another miracle? No, that just doesn't all apply to the revival, and it doesn't just all apply to our church property, but it's in each and individual life. Each one of us has a problem, whether we want to admit to it or not, that we're not quite so sure what God's gonna do with it. Whether it's big or small, we're not so sure what road God's gonna take us down, or we're not quite so sure where God's heading. Do we believe what's going on is his will? Do we believe what's going on that he can? Because he can. Believing is easy when it's easy to believe. It's that simple. If that's the only thing you get, just remember that. Because when God's in the midst of the workings, heading up to a problem, it might be a little bit hard to believe. In the midst of the problem, when we're desperate, as with that woman, she grabbed onto the hem of her garments. You know, toward coming out of it, it's really easy to believe. It's really easy to believe that God can work because God just did the miracle. But down the road, is it going to be that easy? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father,
Lord, I just want to be a blessing to the people tonight. God, I know that wasn't a dynamic message in any way. God, I just... I believe you can. Lord, I believe that you will. Lord, give us the faith. Lord, whatever the problem might be. God, I want to see revival, and I know that you can. know that you will, but Lord, I know it's going to take, Lord, all of us in this room, Lord, to be dedicated for something to happen. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that you would just be with this invitation. God, just speak to hearts, and Lord, if there's one in here today that don't know you as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray this be the day. Lord, I pray all these things in my heavenly name. Amen.